Let's try to get through. I want to try to, if we can, Thursday already to, if we don't get to it today, again, the different shitas in the Rishonim regarding the Maskona Ika Binayi. Again, we talked about the Rambam, we'll talk more, because I want to put together the Rambams in combination. We've mostly spoken about Halakha Tesvav, but we still have to speak about more of them. But the other Rishonim Al Salatar, the one we mentioned yesterday, Talmud Harosh Varajo, if we don't get it today, that's really basically Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? So what was the Dibur Maslo again?
Picture of
Rabbeinu Yonah. And I have a different one. But it's that piece, the Talmud Rajva on Chaf Gimel. Hiksha. Correct, sorry. Yeah, and his own comments as well. Also the Raibin there, Chav Gimel. Hopefully we'll get to it already today a little bit, but just the different ways to read the Maskana of the Gemara. But also the Sefer, the Ramban, rather, in Mechamos on what is it, Chav Bavam and Aleph and Dav Erich. The Gemara, the Rishonim also on Samech Aleph on Beis. So I gave you some of them already. That's how do you integrate the Maskana. We'll talk about it. Rava and Rav Kahana, the different shitos about Tamun in the debate between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, how does that work in with Eisha Mishum Chitza, right? So the Rishonim there all the time, the Meiri, the Sefer HaShlama, very, very important Sefer HaShlama there. You can pick that up in the either Sefer HaShlama, which is printed in the in some of the Shitz Kadmonim, but also in the Kamoi, as the Sefer HaShlama. So just that group over here, and of course we'll talk, if we even get into it today, hopefully again, the Marshal's version of Rashi, and so on. So what is the Maskana of the Gemara? The Kibinai? We know what the problem is and what it might be, but just to pin down a little bit better, and then to move on to those, again, we want to talk still about Koach Achar Urabo, but first we'll just finish off Tamun, and then we want to talk about Koach Achar Urabo, and then Liba Velivsa Haruach, also that question. So again, the things that the Gemaras that I've given you, basically, the Gemaras in the beginning that talk about this, and we've shown them there, that's, again, the base, the Gimelot base, the Hayomid base of Avamid Aleph, that whole, and Tesomid Aleph, Tesomid base rather, Yudamid Aleph, just the Shakamatari there as well. The same, pretty much the same issues, but just the different Lushonos and Tosas, and I think I gave the other ones. Look at the Rajba, Tosas Shamsin in one of the places, I think on Hayomid base. So I want to do those, and I want to do, the Rishonim I gave you on Tamun and a few others probably. And then Liva V'Livsa Ruach, we'll talk about, I'll probably give you a few more things, the Rosh there, and the Shiv Kovetz, the relationship between Zoreh, meaning the question of Grumma on Shabbos, and if that really is the issue, and of course Eish. And just make sure you've seen that pretty much from Nun Tes till the end of the Perek there. Just the Gemaras. We already did part of it. We did the we talked about the problem of Gonef Almanas Lemekat and Hezek Almanas Lemekat, right? So we that whole sugya on Samech Amud Beis. We pretty much the Dabar HaMelech and all of that. But that's where Tamun Be'esh was like the first possibility that's what he was concerned about. So, we don't need to go through the other parts of the score, but just, the basic Shakvataria, that two or three Dapim is like an Esh oasis. So, we'll take the opportunity to get, and then we'll get back to the other things going forward. Also, just if we don't get a chance, we should do it since it comes up. We'll try to do it quickly. On Sugan Chabes Amid Beis, the Tosas about Mamal Zenefasha Sozer. I think we did it in June when we did Sanhedrin. We spoke Sanhedrin, but just very quickly for those who weren't here, we should say something about it. So Tosas and the parallel Tosas in the other places are three, four different shitas, really four different shitas in the Bali Tosas about this. But also in addition to that, the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, the Shitas Kedmonim, has a very important formulation. And there's also a discussion Al Atar and also in a separate tshuva of the Ravon on that issue. So that's just a couple of drop. I mean, I'm not going to do that today because I want to, you know, zero in on the Aish things that we're talking about. Okay, so, and then, you know, again, we have to talk about Reb Chaim and Reb Elbel, those. So I'll give you also just, but it's all mixed in, so just make sure to know the Gemaras really well. And the basic was shown first. Okay, so the last thing that we were discussing was, I'm sorry, we're discussing a bunch of things. I want to just catch up with them a little bit more, and I still reserve the right maybe even to go into more detail at some point. Just a few other Rishonim, but I just want to make sure that we move. On the question of Onus, just very quickly, so Matan brought to my attention an interesting makar regarding you know, whether or not Eshav Shem Chitza would be Chayev, you know, in Odom Muad Leolam on his cover. So we already brought up the fact that this is an interesting question to raise, both for the Ramban, you know, who thinks that even on his Gomor is Chayev and on the Mamazik, for Tosis, who's Mechalik between, you know, Onus Aveda and Onus Digneva. I should also add, of course, or for the Nebuka Yosef and those who make simply the distinction between, you know, Onus Geneva and Aveda, you know, being on one side and Onus of Shoel being the other. This is an interesting question to ask either way. And again, it's an important question. And I think that two elements of it. One is the legal question, whether or not Adam Muad La'olam fundamentally applies to Eshem Shemchitza. That's our big question, namely, do we take literally that it's chitzo shel adam, that it's on a mamazik in the fullest way? That's our topic, right? But even if we do think that Eshem Shem Chitzo turns into on a mamazik, what I was suggesting on Sunday was that there's still room for a practical distinction. That is that you still have to make the Eish chitzo. I mean, there's a first step. In other words, chitzav shel adam, kocho shel adam, is by definition, you know, adam amazik. And in the case of eish, you have to turn through lack of shmira, you know, or something else, possibly, especially in the case of lack of shmira, even more so than mabir. One of the things we're going to be looking at is whether there's more than one, you know, eish, in addition to the question of whether there's, you know, eishem shemona, eishem shemchitza, but what about, you know, lack of shmira, what about mabir, what about, you know, betosh shelo, what about, you know, betosh shemero, what about madlik, you know, oso hagadish, you know, with regard to Isha, comes up, of course, very acutely with regard to tamun, but possibly with regard to other things as well. But the point is that even if you take the view that, if you take the view that Isha Shemchitzo doesn't mean it, it's not literal, and that it already has the compensation, you know, for not actually being Mishum Chitzo. So certainly, the question is, fine, you want to apply, you know, Chamisha Dvarim, or maybe Arba Dvarim, does that mean you also apply, you know, Adam Huad Leolam? But certainly it's very questionable. But even, as I say, if you do think Isham Shem Chitzo, and the question of, you know, whether or not turning Eish into Chitzav itself doesn't require some sort of a, you know, Pshia as opposed to Anas Gomor, you know, might doom you from the start. Anyways, we talked about the Ramban in Bamitzia and some other rayas. So Matan brought to my attention that there might be a raya from the Sugya in Bamitzia on Daf Mem Zayin or Beis. Namely, what's the Gemara talking about there? Yeah, also Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not Dvar Torah Mos Konos or not. So we say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah Mos Konos, right?
Yeah.
But you require Meshicha Midrabanan. Why?
Because
Shem Shemin Nisrafu Chitecha Baliyah. Like, let's say a fire breaks out, so if you hold that... How does it go? That if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan that Dvar Torah Mos Konos, so then the kinyan, the title takes changes basically. I mean, you have a new bailin, but you don't have any physical maisa kinyan in the Gufa Davar, so the object is sitting where it was, right? So there's the fire. This fire is, you know, raging, And the only person who can save the object, assuming that he can save it, right, is the previous owner, right, in whose rishus it likely was. But right now, it doesn't belong to him anymore. So if that's the only valuable thing up there, right, so he doesn't really have any incentive to save it because he sold it already and it's not his. Right. So the Gemara says, in that context, you have line, the line there?
Yeah.
So the guy who started the fire is going to pay for it anyway, so what's the big deal? In other words, somebody, we're getting compensation. You know, so why do we care, you know, in the end of the day, it's going to be saved. I mean, that's, truth is that we do find that preservation of a be'en has a certain value, sentimental value, other value. I mean, if we were to take the position, you know, that compensation, you know, righted all wrongs, right, then, you know, that would have devastating effect on Hilchos Geneva and Hilchos Gezeila and actually Hilchos Nizkei Kemamon, right? That's what we've been discussing all year, let's say. You know, you're willing to pay. Of course, there's still a difference between, you know, obviously what the Gemara has in mind is not that saving a ban, you know, is not significant. Although just to add to the mix, you know, that's the question of Chamson, right, as opposed to a Gaza. Right, in that little H stretch that we have, you know, we also have, you know, the bottom of the Gemara there in Samach Beis of an Aleph, you know, Ma Ben Gazlan L'Chamson, you know, that a Gazlan is a situation where the person takes, you know, the object against his will and doesn't pay for it, and a Chamson is a case where he takes the object against his will and he does pay for it. So there's a big debate what a Chamson really is, that kind of a Chamson, you know, whether he really is a full Gazlan Darais or not, that's a big Machlokas Rishonim, today is in Tosis and Bava Metzia and Sanhedrin, and there in Bava Kamma and Samach Beis and other Rishonim, the Rambam, the Raya get involved in that whole issue. But again, it's another one of those examples where, you know, kind of an interesting discussion where there's no monetary loss. When the Rambam, you know, describes, you know, a person who's Chamson, who's willing to pay, you know, top dollar. He says, that's how he says it. He says, you know, if the Rambam's description of the Sachmod, he says, even if it's a guy who's willing to pay, you know, the highest price, so you're not going to lose a penny. Right. So that's an issue. But of course, here we're talking about something a little bit different, right? Namely, you know, Dvar Torah Mos Kono. So we're trying to figure out whether or not we should make a takana, drabanan, you know, to require, you know, meshicha. So the threshold, you know, for determining whether or not we should, you know, create new legislation, you know, and whether or not we really think that there's a lacuna, you know, in the din d'oraisa, that's kind of what, that's a different perspective. As if somebody asks, do we care about be'ens? You know, the answer is, of course. I mean, all hilchos geneva u'gezeila, you know, many other dinim prove that we care about be'ens, and there might even be gezel on a be'en even without the mamon part, and so on and so forth, etc. But the question is, if you're going to, you know, make a takana derabanan to overturn the din Torah, you know, and your concern, you know, what threshold of concern do you require then? So the answer is, you know, there already, you know, the be'en part wouldn't bother me. So how many times is this going to happen? It's a rare occurrence. It's an intervention, a legal intervention. So as long as, you know, 80%, you know, is covered, so the be'en part, you know, per se, and nostalgia, whatever it is not going to be a separate mechayev. So that doesn't bother me, but it's worth noting, and I think we have to talk about it. It's important to say. So anyway, that's the Gemara's question, right? So the Eishem Mishem Chitzo, or whatever, Eish, you're chayev, basically. So what does the Gemara answer?
And then the Gemara says, oh, there are some people playing upon us.
So Matan wanted to say that Gemara says explicitly that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, because it is Rabbi Yochanan actually, that you know, that the that an onus is doesn't have the din of Eishem Shemchitza. However, the language of the Gemara, what I said is two things. Number one, you know, for Balitosis, the question is what level of onus, because even in terms of Adam Muad Liolam. For the Ramban, it's a, you know, I guess a stronger issue. But I was looking at the language of the Gemara later, it just occurred to me also that we don't necessarily have to be talking about a case where a Beis Shemesh Mechitza, right? It could just be a case where there's, you know, the issue in the Gemara is a case where there's this, you know, rampaging, you know, I was going to say California-esque, but I don't want to, you know, cause any pain. So I take it back. I'm just thinking of it, but I'm not saying it. You know, this kind of a, you know, rampaging, raging, you know, fire. And the point is, you know, whether there's incentive to try to save this fellow's money. But who says that anybody said it? Right? So I think it's an interesting raya. I like it. I would put it on, you know, it's part of the discussion. But I think for the Ramban, you know, you would say one of two things. One is what we've been saying, and I think which Ramban himself says, basically, in Bambitzi, and that's that there's a difference between Eishem Shemchitzav and another Mamazik, and I've given two explanations why that could be so. But in addition to that, when I was looking at it again, I thought it was an interesting raya, but I think a way out is also that, you know, the Halamina certainly was that somebody burnt down, you know, his roof, you know, his second floor, and therefore he's going to pay. But the answer, instead of being just, oh, there's a pteranus, might be, no one did it, there's just a fire that, you know, it was a lightning strike. It could be that, too. That, of course, wouldn't prove anything. But it's
the idea that Rebbe said that you may, that an anus, a case of anus might just make it no longer aged, and therefore you wouldn't have a deal with it. It might be Masha from Rashi and Daf Gimel and Beis.
Okay, what does Rashi say there?
Divar Masha B'ruach Mitsuya.
Oh, okay.
See, Rashi says that if it's a Ruach She'ena Mitsuya, it's Anus V'lo Mechayev, but in a Ruach Mitsuya, then it's a Toldad Eish, which is kind of Mashba that if it's a Ruach She'ena Mitsuya, it's not even a Toldad Eish. It's not Eish at all.
Oh, good. Good deal. And the truth is that this is part of the topic also of... very good. I think that's a good ha'ara. Also, this goes a little bit to the question of, you know, liba v'livsa, you know, haruach, that question. In other words, there are two issues. One is when you have eish, you know, and now the question is the managing of who, you know, the lighting of the fire, the managing of the fire, and that's ishmira sa'eish, you know, and so on and so forth. That's one question. And then the other question is, you know, how the eish itself, you know, comes about. And that's an interesting issue because the sugyas are mashma that that there, you know, there needs to be chefta shaleish, you know, for us then to start wondering, you know, about eishem shemchito, eishem shemamono, you know, and the whole rest of it. But let's say you do something, you know, that you know, that puts the, you know, that creates, let's say, or that enables, you know, an eish to be created, right? That seems to be a different din. We'll discuss that in Liba V'Livsa and so on and so forth. Because there's no chefza shel eish that you created or chefza shel eish that you're mismanaging. You did something, you know, that allows an eish, you know, to come into, let's say, a ruach mitzuya is going to be malaba, you know, and create the eish. That is different dinim, the pashtas. We'll see. So that's, again, an example where there's no shem eish, you know, and therefore, you know, it's not, doesn't get that far. But your case is a case where there even is an eish, you know, but that the onus or the pshia is kobeya, you know, whether or not, you know, it's even a tolda, as you say, whether it's, so I think that's good. Very good. Okay. So that is in terms of onus. We'll get back to onus a little bit more. And again, we'll certainly speak about leva and livsa and all of that going forward. Yeah. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit for the moment, because we will have to get back to it again, but the question of bailus. And so we talked about that because a couple of people asked me what I meant, because I was merames, that there are different chilukim or different ways. So there is this comment of Rashi that we're familiar with, and that is that Reish Lakish requires bailus in the Eish, and that Rabbi Yochanan does not. And there are two things to point out. Number one, that issue itself. And the second question, you know, what happens, you know, Havamina and Maskana. So the Havamina Maskana part, you know, we noted the language of Rashi Kasoka Daitach, right? We're aware that there's this marshal, trying to find the right word, I don't know, this marshal discovered, you know, other girsa of Rashi, right? According to that other discovery, again, we'll have to talk more fully about it. So, the kasolka daitach, it goes in the other direction, right? When I meant, you know, that maybe Esha Mishum, I brought it up originally to try to show that, you know, even Reish Lakish, you know, may not require bailus, dafka in Esh. And I was trying to suggest that, you know, that there's some parallel, you know, although maybe also difference between that and Bor. Whereas Rashi suggests that there is a din of a bailus in Eish. But one of the things I was suggesting was that maybe that doesn't make the final cut, because according to the theory, right, that we redefine or refine what we mean by Mishum Chitzo, what we mean also Mishum Amon, one, the other, or both, in the Maskana, so that could be like a casualty, you know, on the editing floor. And it also could, you know, explain a little more, again, you know, why we're looking for new, you know, nafkamina. So what I meant was that the kasolka daitach, you know, could be that, you know, the halacha, esho mishum mamono, does, even according to Rashi, doesn't require mamon. The question what the gear says later on. But the just to be clear, the marshal's Rashi goes exactly the opposite. You know, which is why it's so important. Again, if it's true, if, you know, if it's not just some virtual Rashi, but it's a real Rashi. Either way, the Marshal's version of the Rashi basically has that the Kesolka Daitach, and that's what the Maram and the Marshal. What? Yeah, well, Rebbe Yishai, we'll talk about also in Chidu Kavetz. He certainly also seems to have it because he has two deos, whether or not you learn like everybody else or not. You have the language of. I was going to bring it in later, but. That's the one Dibra Maskil second in the Shita. Second. Again, we talk about the Ika Binayu.
Yeah, I think
that's the one. I know. I was going to give it a talk in a second. I wrote it down here somewhere. Dibra Maskil Vaharav. Yeah. You have it?
Yeah, the Rebbe Rav Yishai Pasuk Zelashonu Ma'abinayu. Abimatzel Nehru Kuli Singing Delael Yikiranu. Gavi Tal Shonat Tafarel Amanu Mishu Shemonu Sarkluk Mividah Adiyaduye Yivol Amanu Mechai Falvidesh Arilu Kranfila Hatanu 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 Kranfila
Right. That's not as clear.
But the point that they're making for him is he says that Rashi is Pirish Echad or Acher, and they're saying because they had him.
Right. There seems to be another. Yeah, we'll get back to other parts of Rabbi Yishai later. But according to the Marshal's version here, what the Solka Daitach, and that's I think the Marav. What? Yeah.
I think what's another one.
Yeah. You have it?
Yeah.
That's the one I'm really in terms of being unique. That's really the one. Yeah. You need both.
Yeah.
So that's again the Marshal's version of the Rashi is that that the Maskana of the Gemara is that Rabbi Yochanan also requires bailus on the Eish. Right. That's the opposite of what I was saying. That's what I was saying was. And even if you require it in the Havamina, you know, if you think that in the Maskana they've revised the relationship between Mishum Amono, Mishum Chitzo, in terms of no longer being mutually exclusive in both directions, right, then there'd be more reason, you know, to hold like Balei Tosis, the Maskana, even if you held like Rashi in the Havamina. But what this Marshal Rashi believes, and a little bit also the Raibid, and that kind of a Raibid has like a half a Havamina, you know, which is something like that. I'll explain. But meaning not the final Maskana, but for the Raibid there are three levels in the Gemara, in the Maskana. We'll get to it. So is the idea that even Rabbi Yochanan requires always, even for Eishim Shum Chitzav, right, that the, you know, that the Eish be Shalom. Okay, so this is the question. Do you need Bailus or not? So I just want to talk about just for another minute because I made some allusions to it. So number one is, so it's a fascinating argument. We talked already about Tosfos Chachmei Anglia. I was trying to suggest that, you know, the most exciting way to explain the view that you don't need Mamono is to explain that, you know, like Bohr, again, exactly like Bohr, or, you know, parallel and opposite of Bohr, either way, for the moment, right? This is a different kind of Nizkei Mamo. And I was using that to explain that even Reish Lakish bows a little bit to the critique of Rabbi Yochanan of Leis Bei Meshasha. And yesterday, two days ago, we talked about, you know, again, the Bohr Eish axis on Leis Bei Meshasha, but also the chiluk and ish bor below shore bor, ish eish below shore eish, you know, etc. So part of that whole question is also this question of bailus. So what I was trying to say was that, you know, if you always need, in this case, mamon bailus, and you don't need it in eishin and bor, you know, then that's very, very significant. And that would explain, you know, balitosis, whereas Rashi, you know, is assuming, you know, more of a classical niske mamon, you know, posture for the mandamar momo, not for the mandamar chitza. So again, if that changed lamaskana, then, you know, for example, again, let's remember that a lot of questions that Tosis raises against Rashi, you know, are, you know, would be, you know, very much neutralized if we say this is just according to the Havamina. The gets and the ability to be mafkir and the Kafaf, Komaso, we'll get to all these in a second. Shel Chabero, all of these, you could say, well, you know, in a Hanami, but this is just the Gemara going through its, you know, its exercise, you know, testing the din of Reish Lakish. Then in a Hanami, all the Mishnayos would have to be the coin to Rabbi Yochanan. But Lamaskana, they worked for everybody because once we have expanded, you know, Chitzo and Mamono, or once we have limited the gap between them, so you no longer require that. Okay. So that's really, you know, a perspective. As it happens, the Marshal Rashi, whatever, and some of the others go exactly the opposite way, and they think, no, that, you know, Rabbi Yochanan, they also believe in the gap, but their gap is not between two different, you know, it's not a reassessment of what Eishim Shum Amonu and Eishim Shum Chitzav are separately, let's remember. It's the idea that you have, you know, some sort of a combination of Mamono Chitzo. So if you have some sort of a combination of Mamono Chitzo, you know, that could go still in either direction. You might say, well, it's not going to be Chitzo if it's not Mamono. And that's kind of what the Rashi, you know, is saying, and something like that in the Raibid, etc. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Now, the other possibility, this is what people ask me to clarify a little bit, is that maybe the issue is more technical. But once you say that, and maybe also there are chilukim, you know, to be made. In other words, in principle, like till now, what I'm trying to say is with the comparison to Bohr, and again, the same parallel discussion we had for Bohr, but what I'm trying to say till now is that the absence of a requirement of bailus for Bohr or for Eish or for one or for the other shows you that they're different mechayim than shore, you know, all of the shores. Okay? And again, with the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, maybe even if both don't have, maybe they're still different, right? In either direction. But the other possibility is the possibility of saying that this argument, while it's a important technical halachic argument, namely, does Reish Lakish need bailus or not, but there's really not, it's a narrower argument. There's not so much at stake. And the real question is whether or not what Mamono gives you in this Kemamon, you don't have anyway, you know, without it in Eish and in Bor. That's what I meant. So like in Bor, for example, the way to say that is, you know, you're the creator, right? Not, you know, bigger creator, I mean of the Takol, of the Bor. You're the Yotzer HaBor. And therefore, even if that doesn't give you, you know, titular bailus, because it belongs to Rishus HaRabim, you know, it gives you the equivalent of what you have. In Shor, if you're not the owner, and it's Hefker, so you have no kesher to it. And in Bor, you're Mitzuraf to it, and you're, you know, you're even a kind of a quasi-owner by virtue of the fact that you created it. So if you say that way, we're not talking about the difference in Mechaibim. We're talking about, you know, more of a narrow, you know, ha'ara. And in Bor, that's certainly nitan le'yamer. And in Eish, it's nitan le'yamer as well. Namely, you created the Eish. So, again, it's interesting in light of that. It could be the Bali Tosas hold that all the time. That instead of saying Mishumamono is a different kind of Nizke Mamon, they're just saying, when it comes to Eish, you're always mitzuref to it anyway, you know, either through, you know, actually, you know, striking the match, or being a poshea, you know, not managing it properly. So that's all we care about, and that's what we need, and that's the end of the day. The requirement of Mamona per se. Again, if we're talking about obviously some sort of, you know, tziruf to the Maisa Hezek, it certainly makes a lot of sense. You know, if we're talking about Mamono Shehizik, you know, the bank account, you know, I still think it's a problem. More of a problem, put it this way. But it's harder to say that about Mamon, I'm sorry, about Eish, which is a Davar Deleis Be Mashasha, anyway, as we know. Okay. So it's interesting in light of that to think that there might also be Chilukim. Now, instead of saying across the board, this other Svara, which is that when it comes to Eish, you're always Mitzuraf, and that gives you the equivalent of Mamono, you might say that there are, you know, Chilukim to be made. And then the Chilukim to be made, you know, when you stand back, could be understood in one of two ways. Either there's more than one Eish, you know, and this question, either within Chitzav or within Mamono, you know, are there gradations? Like on the in the spectrum from Adama Mazik to, you know, to Mamoncha, you know, there can be different scenarios. So, for example, what about just even thinking in our mind, and then you have to look for the evidence, and this is going to come up in Tamun as well, and it's going to come up in a bunch of things. So what happens, you know, is there a difference between, let's say, you know, being Mavir, the Eish, and, you know, actually striking the match, and you know, not being Shomer, an Eish, which you could smother and neutralize. Right, that's a very important distinction. Is there a difference between, you know, being Mavir B'toch Shelcha, you know, and being Mavir B'toch Shelcha Vercha? Right? Actually, in that Chiluk, you know, there's an interesting, again, dialectic, because when you're Mavir B'toch Shelcha, on the one hand, you're more distant from the target, and therefore that accentuates, you know, both the time and the process, you know, and that, you know, initial striking of the match, you can burn down your own field if you want to. I mean, Baal Tashkos aside, right? So anything that is betok shalo, again, what I'm saying now we're going to use again for Tamun and for some of these other issues. You know, anything you do betok shalcha, you know, is more mechudash or a step away, you know, from being chitzav, you know, in a certain respect. You know, both, you know, process-wise, heter-wise, timing-wise, right? On the other hand, in terms of the question of mamoncha, right, things that you do in your own rishus have an element, possibly, of chatzer, you know, things that happen in your possession accrue to you more, you know, in terms of bailus. So that's a bit of a dialectic. Normally, we think that, you know, mashanasa b'toch shelcha, you know, is a reason to tamp down you know, the Anamamazik part and upgrade the Mamoncha part. But it's not necessarily, you know, not necessarily the case. So, you know, these are some chilukim, you know, that are possible. Oh, so are these chilukim because, if we make these chilukim, again, are we making them because, in the dinam, in the mechayev of Eish, you know, there are different levels and categories, and therefore this is a consequence? Do you need mamoncha? Or is it because some of these things create, like, if you strike the match, then, like the boar, in a way, you're yotzer, you know, ha'esh, as opposed to somebody else, you know, struck the match, you know, but you could smother the fire. Does that make it yours, you know, because of your ability to neutralize it in the same way that creating it makes it yours? That's an interesting question. We're going to get more concrete just to turn to a couple of details in just a second. I'm just trying to kind of sketch it out. That these are interesting questions. Right. Or let's say, does it make a difference when we're talking about, you know, the question of bailus, between whether there's some other owner that you're competing with or some neutral H? Okay. So again, if we're talking about, I think there are two planes in which this discussion is taking place, these possible chilukim. One is the mechayvim of Eish. Again, Adam Amazik versus the spectrum of Mamon Cha Shehizik. And I think, you know, if you take it from that point of view, you know, you're more likely to make certain distinctions. But if we're talking about, again, the bailus on the Eish is a narrower question, right, then the question of, like, you know, where did this Eish come from? You know, becomes a pretty important question. Oh. So having said that, let's now look for a minute just at some of the things that the Rishonim say on Tar. Yeah?
Tosis is a general category of Mamono Shehizik is also more fluid. I mean, Tosis and Hakonis are mashmah, there's a new status of Baal in regards to the Zikin that's different than all other areas of the Torah.
You mean the Nidavah one?
A Baal, the Shemira, the Nezaka. Right, so is it possible that Mamono Shehizik in general for Tosis
yes.
is not...
So let me mention that also. Meaning, does the requirement, I think this is what you're asking me, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, that does the requirement of Bailus, Ligabe, something like Eish, or Niske Mamon, does it have to conform to regular Dine Bailus, or does the fact that there is an Achrayus here, and a Nezek component, is that a reason also why we ascribe like a certain level of bailus that we normally wouldn't.
Right.
That's what you're asking? So, for example, let's highlight that also. Again, I'm not trying to complicate it, but I think these are real things. For example, you know, when the Gemara says that, you know, Shnei Dvarim Enim Shusha Shonim Asan HaKasav Kilim Rishusha Bar Bishusha Rabin Ben Chametz Ben Pesach, so some of the Mepharshim understand that what it really means is, you know, bailus legabe, you know, isurim. You know, not just, you know, a yotzer, or either you don't need bailus, and it's a way of saying that, or you have bailus because you're the creator of this particular thing. Now, you don't have that in so much in Bayrabai Matzai, but what if you want to emphasize the Bayrabai Matzai connection in particular, so is it another way of saying you don't need bailus there, like, because all you care about is, you know, that it's something that he cares about, you know, that the Hagdara of Lo Yirav Lo Yimatzei is the factor of Nichale, and so on. Then again, you know, has very little to do with anything else. But it may be that Legabe Isurim, Legabe being the Bailam Legabe Isurim. So for example, I'll just give you an example. I mean, the Rambam's famous Shita, which some of the Rishonim were troubled by, the Ramban hints that he's troubled. Well, and that is that if you, that the Rambam says, you know, that if you want to, you know, find a case of being, you know, Chayiv Malkus, you know, for Bal Yiraya, right, then I'm not sure people would want to do this, but, like, you know, abstractly, you know, from a legal point of view. So the Rambam says, I have two cases for you, right? Asa Chametz B'Pesach, right? And Kana Chametz B'Pesach. So on the Asa comments in Pesach, okay, even that's not, that's a little tricky. Because Gemara says, Shnei Dorim Meinu B'Shusha Kosen Kilo B'Shusha. The Pashtus, the minimum case that that is, that has to be, is what? A case where you are the previous owner, and what we're being told is, just because it's Yisuri Anah. Like a minimum, you could say what that means is, you know, it's Yisuri Anah. And, you know, don't think that Yisuri Anah is Mafkia Legamri Bailus. You're still the Bailim, you were the Bailim, you are the Bailim. Okay, you want to go a little step beyond that? We'll say, typically, Yisuri Anah is Mafkia Bailus. Okay, but here, you know, we don't care about Bailus. Right, we care about, you know, the continued nichale, the kind of kesher that you have, you know, with this object. Or you want to go even a little further than that, so you'll say, you know, you were the bailim. Typically, you were the bailim. You need to be the bailim. Typically, Yisuri Anah is mafkia bailus, right? But the Torah said that there's an isra of lo yirah v'lo yimatzeh. So that's a stira minei ubei. It cannot be. You know, that Yisuri Anah is always mafkia bailus, that you need bailus, you know, and that you have bailus when it's also bahana. So that's a chiddush haTorah, that legabe, this particular din, if not more general, you know, not that really you don't need it, not that really Yisuri Anah doesn't do that, those are, you need it, Yisuri Anah usually does it, but here, it's not mafkia, a previous kinyan, that's the special chiddush of lo yirah v'lo yimatzeh, because otherwise, Lawyer of Alei Matze couldn't exist. Okay. Why am I telling you all this? We're not learning Tzachim. Right? The answer is because all that is a far cry from saying that if you're Osa Chabetz with Pesach, you know, that it's yours on Pesach. Now, you didn't know the previous to Pesach. You didn't retain it. You weren't Masha Chabetz with Pesach. Or that, even more so, that you could acquire Chabetz on Pesach. Right? That's something else. The lawyer of Lai Matze in a classical way can coexist, you know, without coming to those conclusions structurally and conceptually, right? What do we mean? To say that previous bailus doesn't go away, or, you know, you still care about it, Vaharaya, you didn't, you know, get rid of it, and therefore that's what we care. Right, but here we're talking about something totally different. We're talking about a new relationship with the Chametz on Pesach. And some of the Rabban, I think, hints at it in the beginning of Pesachim. Definitely some of the others, the Rivash and others, are very unhappy about it. They're like, well, why should that be true, that Chiddush of the Rambam? Doesn't say it in the Gemara anymore, by the way. Neither are the cases. But what do you see from the Rambam? That there's something called a Kinyan L'inyan Iser. Now, all the Achronim then ask the following question. Let's say you have a Kinyan L'inyan, let's say you have a Kinyan of L'Yirav L'Yimatzeh. Can you? Does it also allow you to transact, not just in the case of the Rambam? The Rambam highlights just a certain perspective. Can you then transact with it, right? Not just to violate Bal Yirah. Can you sell it to someone? Or maybe you can't for technical reasons. Can you be makdish it? You know? Do you have any other bailus? You know, the din is that it's, you know, that it's in this special exception for bailus across the board, or rak legabe, you know, the iser. Is it such a thing? That's an interesting question. Okay, now why? What does this all this have to do with us? We're trying to figure out whether or not, you know, there's a category of bailus legabe niskeimov. That maybe differs, or it doesn't require the typical title, you know, that we typically associate with bailus. There are such phenomena, right? Bal Yirah, you know, and Bor, our example. Again, it goes back to the Toskach Anglia, but before you make the distinction, I'll give you another one. The very phenomenon of Geneva and Gezela, of course. Right, which is there are such things as Kinyane Gezela, Kinyane Geneva, Kinyane Gezela. Right, the Ganef and the Gazlan acquire the Chepetz, even though they do that, you know, against the will of the owner. Now the question of, you know, what their status is, not for now. Hopefully we'll get to Yud Aleph, you know, when we finish all these other things. We'll talk about it. Shaman ain't shaman lagana for lagazlan. You know, so, and we have talked in the past about Rav and Rava in Sanhedrin that Mayan base, right? So there's an interesting question, but the whole phenomenon of Kinyane Gzela and Kinyane Geneva, you know, is an interesting phenomenon because it's atypical. It's based on what the guy forcefully did, the relationship that he has with the chepetz, right? Even though the Bailam don't want to allow that. Again, it's a junior or a, you know, different kind of, it's complicated. What happens if a Ghana for a Gazlan is not interested in acquiring the chepetz? Also an interesting question. Right? So Tosis in where? Akones. Seemed to be a Akones person. I guess that was the first...
That's why I'm not a Akones person anymore.
What?
That's why I'm not a
Akones person. Tosis in Akones quotes Yerushalmi. Right? What happens if you're Gozel Amanas La'abi? You want to throw it into the river. Right? So that's a big discussion that maybe there's no Kinyani Gazela in that case, because you're not interested in acquiring it. Or not. That's a debate. Rishalmi seems to say that. So, this is, part of the Tamura question. Right? Asher? Yeah? What's the Tamura question? Yeah. So, one of the cases that's discussed, the question is, what about the case? You know, is it Shinui Kona? Is it Kala Gazana Mishalma Kishasa Gzela? Is it, basic core Kinyane Gzela? But one of the cases that's discussed between Abai and Rava and Tamura, in the sugya of Kama Adam Rachman Alasavid Yavid Mahani or Yavid Lo Mahani, is Kinyane Gzela. Right? Guess which part? But certainly it could be that part. Why? Because, Kama Adam Rachman Alasavid, you're not allowed to steal. Stealing is an illegal act. How can an illegal act be chal? That's kind of the question of Abaya and Rava. Yavid, mahani or lo mahani. And if it's an exception, but this is really mahani, meaning what's mahani about it? Again, if you explain that it refers to Kinyani Gazela in some way, what you're saying is he did this act, did this illegal action, right? And he... The illegal action had legal consequences. Namely, he became a bailim. Wow. So it's a special din. Again, that sugya, there are a lot of exceptions. Everybody agrees that there are exceptions in both directions. But that's the... So whether we're talking about Bayura or Bor, or they're different. Each one is different. I'm trying to show that on the edge of... Typically, bailus is bailus. Dine Mamun is violence. And you have to go about it a certain way. But we find, when it comes to certain Isurim, where there's an element of Achrayas, like you took this object away from the other guy, where you're in control, and that's what Rabbi was referring to, the other Tosfot Akones, right? Where you're in control, then there's a kind of de facto violence. When you create something, when you control something, and you have legal responsibilities because of it, the Chiyuv Achrayas in the case of Geneva Gezela, or the Chiyuv Tashlumin, or the Iser Lahazik in the case of Nitzkei Mamon, does that expand the din of Bailus? Very fascinating question. So, here you might be Mechalik between different cases and different circumstances. So in terms of being more concrete about it, right, it's pretty clear from the Bali Tosis that all this is just wrong when it comes to Eish, or all Nizkei Mamon, but at least Eish. I mean, Tosis doesn't think, that there is Bailus in any of these cases, and he doesn't think you need Bailus. And the only thing you'd have to ask the question to Tosis was, what's the relationship with Bor? It's the same or it's a parallel opposite same? Right, and that we discussed already. But other Rishonim do make distinctions. So, for example, what distinction does anybody see? Alatar, distinctions that are made. The Meiri, right, makes the distinction between Mavi or Birshuso, and Mavir Birshus, you know, either in a neutral Birshus or in the Birshus of the Nizak. Miri says, whenever you light a fire in your own Birshus, there's a kinyan, kind of a kinyan chatzer, on the Eish. Wow. That's an amazing idea. Obviously, Tosus doesn't think that's true. Anybody have the line? Al Atar here in Nanchafei Samad Aleph. The Rimigash in the Shittim Gobet says is mechalik between igniting the fire and neglecting Shmira on the fire. It says when you ignite the fire, right, then you don't need to be a Bailin. Titularly. But you have to look at the language. Is that because when you light the fire, so it's more chitzav oriented, even according to the Mandamar Mamona, that already gets intriguing. Anybody have language in the Shidduch of Ansas? The Meiri and the Rimigash? Yeah, well, it's all up to our, just want to... Yeah? Matan? Go ahead. Which one are you reading first? Yeah, good. Yeah, Dibra Maschil, you got it, right? The Chain. Yeah? What? I think it sounds right. Yeah. I'm not hearing so well. Did you? Is that what he's saying?
I think
it's a different one?
Yeah,
I think the one I have is Vidibra Maskel Bechain. What?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, go. Ari, go ahead. Okay, so that's a very important chiluk between the distinction between and when you're managing the fire, so you know the metzaref is only when it's shelcha. Or when you're mavir, there are two ways to say it. Or when you're mavir the fire, then you're yotzer the fire. So that's kind of a bilus in its own right. Yeah. What do you want to say?
I think the footnote there wanted to connect it to like the way the Gemara said that like makom magachalas according to Rishpakish is like regal of the hema.
Yeah.
So similarly, like makom when you light it yourself, they wanted to connect it to wanted to connect it that could be like it would literally be on the mamas. It wouldn't even be.
So again, I think it's a little strong, but I would say because this is within the Mandamar Mishum Mamono. It's not Mishum Chitza. Mishum Chitza for sure you don't need, you know, Shabbat.
Yeah, but the point is that Rish Lakish admits that the Makom HaGachalos is regular.
All right, okay, but I think it's a leap, I mean, I don't know who wrote the footnotes, but it's a little bit of a leap from one to the other, I think. So I would prefer to think that what the Rimigash is telling us is one of two things. Either that is the Hagdara, like, you know, Yotzer. You're Yotzer the Bor, you're Yotzer the Eish. You're not Yotzer the Eish when you mismanage it. You're Yotzer the Eish when you light the fire. Right. Or, what I prefer, which is kind of what you're saying, but I wouldn't go that far, and that is that the, you know, there's an Eisha Mishumamono, you know, where you're Mavir, you know, where you're just like, you know, it's like Mishalech Shluche, you know, where you're just using the Eish, you know, even though it is Betoras Mamono still, but, you know, it's clear that it's, you know, Hezek Shalo Al Yedei Eish, you know, and for that, you don't need Bailos. Whereas, you know, if you're managing, you know, an existing fire or mismanaging an existing fire, you know, that's like, you know, not doing shmir on your shore. Okay, but that's an important distinction. You have the Meiri one? Anybody have the Meiri one? And Betosha Shalom? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the Meiri says that
Is that Sulun? I thought it was an earlier one. One second. This is within Reish, should be within Reish Lakish. Early in the Sogan, the base.
Earlier
in the
Sogan.
Yeah. What you're reading is Chav Gimel, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No one has that one? Or maybe it's just in the base of the Chira that I saw it? You have it?
It's later on Chav Gimel. It's at the bottom of Chav Gimel.
It's on the bottom of Chav Gimel? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh, when he does the...
Okay.
So what's he saying? That if you're madlik betok shelcha, then it becomes mamona. Yeah?
I think so.
Read the line this again?
Mamonohu.
Right.
But if you're madlik the gadish alachirim, then he insarif on mamonohu.
Correct. Exactly. So,
That's because it's other mamonohu, because the lighting on fire.
What's that?
That's...
Even though, again, that's the question.
Well, you're lighting...
He's saying two things. Number one, that when you... When you're madlik betok shelcha, that's what I was saying. That's what I was noting the dialectic kind of before. That on the one hand,
you're not lighting is so sadeh haver. You're lighting the gedish directly.
Right, that's the gedish. But you're not only chayiv for. But you're chayiv mishum b'mono.
He says it's niskei gufo.
I mean, I'll look at it again. But I think he's trying to explain that you are. Why it is that you don't need bailus, but he's not suggesting that, according to Reish Lakish, let's say in such a case, for example, I mean, you're not only chayiv for the makom in the gadish that your mates is be'esh. We'll see this again in Talmud, right, as we go forward, that it's just that that's considered on the spectrum, this is what I'm trying to show. There are two different issues that Rishonim and Achronim deal with when they talk about this question. Right? One is expanding the Hagdara of Bailus beyond title Bailus or formal Bailus. That, again, being Madlik Betosh Shulcha is an example of that. That makes it Shulcha, even though it isn't normally Shulcha. He doesn't want it to be Shalom necessarily. Or if he would be given a choice, he wouldn't be interested in it being Shalom. We'll get to that in just a second, too. But, and the other one is, whether or not, there aren't gradations, of Adam HaMazik in Eish, both according to the Mandamar Eishim Shem Chitzav, and according to the Mandamar Eishim Shem Amon. So I think that's what the Mi'iri is saying. I don't think he's saying that this is actually Adam HaMazik. You're mad at the Gedish, but the Gedish, spreads. It spreads in the Gedish. Right? Let's see what Sefer HaShlomo will see that also. That's like on a Mamazik, but still B'Torah Seish, because it's still spreading. It's still not Kocho, but it's still Koch Achar Me'urabo. It's not only the place where you set fire, it's the spread to the rest of the Gedish. Right, that still remains significant. Okay, so in terms of the Achronim also get into this issue. They some of the Achronim suggest that it matters whether you pick up the Gacheles or not. They talk about the question of how high you pick up the gacheles. In other words, let's say you make a kinyan on the eish. You know, again, if your intention, if it's hefker and it's your intention to acquire it, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, just because you picked up the gacheles or the gacheles is raised, you know, and there's a maisa kinyan b'li das liknos that somehow turns this into mamoncha? Yeah. Say that again, because he...
Like he was never, like, ogre, the gachelas and the feskas of the Baal.
Implying that, that...
That's why Eishu Mishum Mamono wouldn't be patur on the
dish. Again, Eishu Mishum Mamono, I want to talk about Rech Rach also, but Eishu Mishum Mamono would not be patur.
Because he says, K'mor lo igdiya sacharara, el v'der afi do it.
Me implying that they're like this, this idea, that if you picked it up, then there would be a kinyan.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, I didn't notice that, which is what some achronim suggest. But even though you're not interested in it. So this is an interesting question, right? Well, the kelev is aduya adye, so this is a question in general. Can you be kona when you're not interested? Right? Again, boar and goslin. And again, almanas live, you know, la'abed might be different, you know, just there's also different surah in terms of the gazela. But in addition to being just expressing that you're not interested in it. But legabe, to be zochev, legabe the Iser Torah, is that something that requires a das or not? Why do you require das in a kinyan generally? Because without the das, it's a kind of misasek? Or because you need das, you know, in every kinyan? Is there a maisa kinyan without das kinyan? That's a big question in general. Let's say you do something without awareness. You do a maisa kinyan in a davrishal hefker, let's say. So that's a discussion whether that will ever be a problem of kinyan or not. Most Rishonim who think that you could have a kinyan shalo midas think that, you know, it helps a lot when the Ravid says this in Cheskas Abatim, in the Nun, like Nun Gimel or Nun Dalet, that if there's Das Acheres Makna, you know, if there's somebody you're taking it from, you know, then actually there's more of a reason to think that a Kinyan Shalom Bidas might be effective. Right? And the reason for that is because it kind of objectifies, you know, what you're doing. Legabe, the person that you're taking it from against his will, like he's upset. That kind of, you know, imputes stature to your action. That's an interesting, or katan, that's, you know, also the question. Can a katan be kone midoraisa? Right? Discussion in Tosis and Gittin on Samach Dalet and Yerushalmi and Erevin and a different day of the Shach has strong views on this question, whether a katan can be kona even min a hefker, or maybe katan can only be kona, can never be kona min a Torah, or a katan can be kona b'das acheres makne. Right. So b'das acheres makne is because the other person is makne to you, or b'das acheres makne is because their presence and their lack of, they don't stop you. And their presence kind of objectifies your kinyan. I'm just trying to point out that the question here, whether or not, again, there are two questions here. One is, are there two eishes or three eishes? You know, are these gradations in eish that some of which require bailus, you know, to be mamoncha, and some of which we don't? Or are there different mechanisms that create bailus in something like eish? And that's in the whole area of inyan isura, or, you know, etc. When the other person is not maskim, can you be kona? So the Yamshel Shlomo, for example, the Marshal in Bava Kamma here, you know, in a few places, is very adamant against this whole idea. He says all these, you know, the Sugya later on, you know, talks also about, you know, something like a kinyan leinyan, being zoche leinyan iser gemar daf chavtes. So the Yamshel Shlomo is of the opinion that these kind of kinyanim don't work. Can't be kona, you know, against your own will. Right? You have to have das, liknos. You know, and then the question is, you know, is it hefker, is it not hefker, you know, etc. But per se, that, you know, that's his view. Obviously, the Bali Tosis here, I think all the cases that they're quoting, what is Tosis quoting? In a hefker, we'll get to each one very, very quickly now. Let's say a gets, right? You, a spark. You're hitting the anvil and it creates a spark and it burns down, you know, the town. So, you know, I've got to be more sensitive. It burns something down. So, the, you know, what is that? Like, Tosus brings a raya from Kofa, you know, Komas Chabero, you know, from Getz, and then Tosus brings another raya. He says, oh, in every single case where a person, you know, lights a fire, why doesn't he just mafgir the fire, you know, after he, you know, after he lights it? Right? Clearly, we just don't need bilots. That's what Tosus is saying. Okay. But let's talk about each of those three cases just for a second. So first of all, being mafgir the fire, you know, is that really such a strong raya? And you have to look at other Rishonim, other Bali Tosus. They all, a lot of the ones who disagree with Rashi, some of them bring, you know, one raya, some bring all three rayas. It's interesting. What do you think about, let's just talk about each one very quickly, you know, you could be mafkir the fire afterwards, and that would matter? Are you? What do you think?
Well, so some of the Rishonis try to compare it to Bor.
Well,
mafkir at Makala.
Okay, excellent. So number one, I think are two things. Number one, it could just be two. What's the critical moment if you hold Esho Mishum Mamono? Right, that's an interesting question. Is it, you know, Kolzman that it hasn't yet been Mazik? You know, or is there still, you know, a critical moment, you know, when the fire begins, you know, and or you create it, you know, for nefarious purposes, in which case it's just too late. That's one question. You might say, oh, well, maybe that's Gufa part, one of the things we're going to have to discuss. Both for Eshem Shem Chitzav and Eshem Shem Mamono, what is the critical moment? Right? There's a process. It could take a long time. Or it could take instantaneous. It doesn't matter. But even instantaneous is time. I mean, there's a process unfolding. There's a T1 and there's a, you know, an end of the process, and there are things in the middle. And the question is it all one circle? Is it all front-loaded? Is it all back-loaded? Is that goof up part of the argument between Eshem Shem Chitzav and Eshem Shem Mamono? It's an interesting question. All I'm saying is, you know, the Tosus's idea that, you know, why can't you, according to Rashi, you should be able to be mafkir, assumes, you know, that the first moment, certainly according to the Mandam or Eshem Shem Mamono, is not critical. That's okay. I think that's a good assumption. But I don't think it's a foolproof assumption. Secondly, and that's what Arya just said, and that is, are some people think you can't be mafkir or bor, right? Because it's a takala, you can't be mafkir a takala. Right? And part of that, by the way, may have to do with the fact that a takala is mitzuraf to you, and therefore, you know, to initiate, you know, its distance from you, you know, is not possible at that point. It's mitzuraf to you. You just can't do it. The truth is that, and what about the case of, so I think that there are good reasons, you know, to at least question. Obviously Tosus wasn't bothered by this. Tosus wasn't bothered by the timing question, and he wasn't bothered by the ability to be mafkir in an effective way, a takala, or the takala of Esh. But for Rashi, that might be a good answer. What about the Getz case? Okay, that's a little more. I mean, a Kala Kave, that's a little more. What do you think about that, Israel?
Ram puts it in Chobel Mazik instead of Nisimah.
What?
Ram puts it in Chobel Mazik.
Well, that's also interesting. We'll get to that in a second. Meaning it's more like on a Mamazik, maybe, because you're Yotzer. So number one, you're Yotzer that, Eish. So that's, again, people think that that's... But in addition to that, the point is that you... it is... You want to be, you know, it's yotzer, and then the question is again, you need to be mafker it. That's different than, you know, not having bailus to begin with. Somebody else owns it, right? What about kofek komas chavero? They certainly might say. So the Gillian in Shidduch Gubetzes has a line in which he says, which you said just now for the Rambam about gates, and that is that maybe that's Adam Amazik. Not so pashut. That kofa kumbas kavero is Adam Amazik. You take what happens in that case exactly? Yichal, what happened? And you put it in line of the fire. So that's an interesting question. It's not the mismanagement of the fire. It's like you're bringing the chefza shel nezek. You're creating a chefza shel nezek. You know, you're not dealing with a mazik, or it's siras amazik. It's integrating the nezek into the process. So there's a line in Shitu Gubetzes. I don't know if you can find it or not. If not, I'll bring it in next time. Where he says, you know, that's not a fair example. That's Adam Amazik. Okay. So the point I'm trying to make, I'm going to move on to this in a minute, but whether it's Kofas Chamas, Kofa Komaso, or Getz, or the difference between, you know, being Mavir and being Shomer, or the difference between Bershuska and Shalom Bershuska, or between, you know, the Gedish itself, you know, that's going to burn, as opposed to other things, Bershus Kaveiro, right? There really are, as I say, two different issues playing out here. One is what constitutes the Hagdara of Bailus Lagabe Nezek, where there's Tziruf and where there's Yitzira, and where there's, you know, a link to the Takala, all of those questions. And the second one is whether or not, both for the Mandamar Eishem Mishum Chitzav and the Mandamar Eishem Mishum Mamono, there aren't cases along the spectrum. In other words, cases that are closer to Adam Amazik and cases that are closer to Shor. And that, these are big, big, important questions. There are probably more examples of this too, but in terms of the Rishonim al Atar, that's pretty much what we find. Okay, let's continue because I don't want to take more time on that. Regarding the question of Chitzav Shel Kelev, we discussed that, namely that the Gemara has a Havamina that's an Afkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Whether the Rambam holds out the Maskana, as Avi correctly pointed out, it seems like he does, but you have to read the last line of the Rambam too, so we'll get back to that question, how to read that sugya. But other Rishonim clearly are of the opinion that if the Gemara changes its mind, you know, in the Maskana, when they're looking for Nafkamina, that one of the things that they change their mind about, you know, again, for the Rashi, the Marshal Rashi and the Ravid and others, it might be you require Bailus even to say Chitza. I will talk about that more, although we know what we want to say about it already. But we want to say Rambam-type things, but Rambam doesn't hold that particular prod, obviously. But according to, you know, that aside, in addition to that, you know, there are some who say that in this revision, you know, we dropped some of the other, you know, Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree with Reish Lakish on the standards for the Bala Gamal and the Kalev, meaning we're dropping the idea of Chitzav Shel Kalev. They don't explain so much why that should be so. Like, what's wrong with the Chitzav Shel Kalev? If you say, oh, you know, in order to say Chitzav, you need Bailus, okay, so you need Bailus, fine. But why should you, if you do, think this, why should you drop some of the other nafkamina, like Chitzav Shel Kalev? Why can't the, even if you merge them, or accept both of them, and therefore the gap between them isn't as great? Why would that affect Chitzav Shel Kalev, or maybe the Kamle Midraba Mine type case, or Tzavta the Cheresh? Why would they be affected? But again, if the effect is not you know, just kind of a technical additional mamono point. But again, it's this merging of the two, which dulls or modifies, you know, the automamazic aspect of chita, you know, or which accentuates now Reish Lakish's original critique of Rabbi Yochanan, namely, this isn't exactly kocho, it's a leap. You know, and if it's not, you know, going back to my harantosis, it's not, you know, one or two, but it's actually three. I mean, qualitatively, even when you have Eshem Eshem Chitzav, it's not quite onomamazic. So then the idea that, you know, it works for Adam, but it doesn't work for Kelev, makes a lot of sense. Right. So again, Rambam may not turn his back on that, but there are other Rishonim who clearly are saying that all the Nafkaminas got thrown out, and that Reish Lakish is king, even within Rabbi Yochanan, when it comes to those things. And why? Unless you want to say that, you know, Chitzav is totally subservient to Mamono, but I don't think you have to say that. I think you just need to say that Mamono, you know, or Niskei Mamon aspect, the ratio of the Pasuk, you know, is more of a factor than we thought, and that has effect. You know, it and one of the effects it has is Kela. With regard to Tzavta de Cheresh, again, you have to look a little bit at the Shach of Atari, which you still need to do on Tesselman base, like the different views in the Gemara, but this is kind of like a Gemara here is like a rapid, sikum, let's say, of the previous Gemara. So Tzavta de Cheresh, you know, again, sounds like the, if we're talking about Mono, you know, so the Cheresh is just a manager and he's distant. And if we're talking about Eish, you know, then there's Safta the Cheresh. So why would that not hold up Lamaskana? That sounds like a reasonable, you know, perspective. But I think the answer again is, I think in two directions in this case. Number one, maybe it doesn't hold up for Rabbi Yochanan, fine. Because again, the Mamono aspect is more central and dominant. You know, it isn't really, you know, mice of the Cheresh or mice of the Katan completely. It's, you know, Koach Akar Murabo. It's fueled by being Mamono, so maybe it isn't enough. But I think here also you might want to say, and I think, you know, they don't talk about it so much in Rishonim, but I think you could say, that maybe Reish Lakish got redefined, you know, in the process. Namely, that this is what we talked about, that Esha Mishum Mamono doesn't have to be Shor. You know, it can be Tziruf of the Bailin to the Maisa Hezek through Mamono. Maybe that's enough for Tzav to the Cheresh. Yeah, maybe. Okay, something to think about. We'll see if we can find any echoes of that, but that is certainly a possibility. Okay, so then we come to the question of Chivrot Tzeach. Let's read that. Arya, you want to read for us just for a second? Did anybody get a chance to look at the Reb Chaim that I mentioned? To look at? But I just mentioned the Reb Chaim doesn't think there's Kamla Midraba Mine? Tzach? Natan? No. We'll get to that also.
In stencils.
No? Okay, so I'll just show you where it is. This is the question. How do you read? Arya, go ahead. Eved Kafus. Amalek Sagadish Vaya Eved Kafus Lo.
Amalek Sagadish Vaya Gedi Kafus Lo, the Eved Samuk Lo, Nisrafimo, Chai. Eved Kafus Lo, the Gedi Samuk Lo, Nisrafimo, Patrick. The Bishlan, the land of Rishim Shantizo, and Shimaki Patrick. Presumably, the Kimla.
Ah! Does it say that in the Gemara?
No.
Okay. Yeah, presumably is correct. And certainly that's how the Bali Tosis understood it. And most Rishonim. Okay. So it's interesting. Two things are interesting. Right. Number one, it doesn't say Kam Le Midraba Mine in the nation of Shemchitza. So I'll just read you those lines of the stencils in a second, just to make it clear what I'm talking about. It's also interesting that the Gemara, you know, felt that it needed to dramatize, you know, that, you know, if it's Eshem Mishum Mamono, that you wouldn't say this din, right? By adding, Ilu Katal Tore Avde Hachanami. So, for example, just to highlight it, the Marsha, you know, thought, like, what do you need the extra words, you kotel tori abde? He says something about it. Okay? But it does stick out. So either it's a more emphatic, this is mamono, don't, you know, get serious. But what did they think before? And you know, we already said, Mishu mamono. Like, is the Gemara tempted to think that maybe Kamle Bedraba Mine would apply even according to Mandomer Eshem Mishu mamono? So then we have in this you know, little section, you know, the, you know, possible two readings, you know, exactly that we're looking for, right? In other words, an upgraded Eshem Mishu mamono, you know, just like knocked down or rejected by, or maybe just even accepted, but still Ilu Kotel Tori Avda Hachanami Delo Machayev, right? And a limitation on the Eshem Mishu Mechitza, correct? Yeah. Right, Amalach Rab Shimon, Achemayis Kinon, Kishayitzis Beguva Shalevet. The Kamle Bidraba Mine, right here, the Gemara uses the expression Kamle Bidraba Mine, and Hatesis Beguva Shalevet, right, that's not Eshem Mishum Chitza, that really is Adama Chovel or Adama Roteach. Okay, that's why I'm questioning your Meiri point, even though I think it's in that direction, but not exactly the same. It's like, or like the Gemara says before, from the Saksetas, or, you know, the actual Mokom HaGacheles. But, you know, any spread isn't exactly that. Okay. Yeah, Yihachim Ala Memra looks, right? Go ahead. Okay. Good. Here, we'll just get into the top of the part, because we read that already. We talked about it. Okay, we can skip that. Then we're till Rava, and then we'll talk about Talmud in a minute. Okay, so here just wanted to point out the idea of, you know, some of the Rishonim say explicitly that, you know, what we mean about Eshem Mishum Chitzav is Kamle Bedraba. Correct?
Yeah.
So the Reb Chaim, because when you get a chance to look at it, I'll talk more about it, but just read you the line so you see it's here, that, you know, the question of Rotzeach, but specifically with regard to this point, again, it's a bigger question earlier. Am I potter? Either katal turi abda chenamid loy machaya. Pirush minibra agamar de mishumachi potter lamanam reishim mishum chitza mishum kamle bedraba minay. Lo yodinan to the mamon ahoreg leisa lechiv misal of island. The gam teretz agamara hakamai skinim shehitzis begufa shalevet the kamle bedraba mine mashmud ad hashta lo ayri bepetur kamle bedraba mine brak da ata aliva de reish lakish right osa mitam kamle bedraba mine right. So he has that interesting diuk, but he also has the ha'ara, you know, that bothered him too. Like the Marsha, like, what do you need this, you know, Ilu Tura cocktail? Right, so I said what I said about that. That I think even there might have been a Havam, you know, that Eshem Mishum Mamono is more than. What about the Eshem Mishum Chitzav and the Kamle Bedraba Mine? So that's his thing here. So we'll get to the bigger issues of Reb Chaim. Lefiam Izbar, Efshar Lomar, see the other Nachminas. Right? Right? No, you don't have koko. But this is consistent with Reb Chaim's view. Can we look at the Sanhedrin? Hi, what does it mean? Bisham al Madam Reshim Shum Chitzav Vishimachi Potter, Enemishim Din Kamle Midraba Mine, Dana Machuyev Klal Misa. Rak Mishum de Bedina Nezikin, Hayur Esham Vishim Chitzav, Ulinia Lischai Bedmea Nerag, Midine Nezikin Hu. There's a pretty subtle point, as Reb Chaim, you know, has developed a reputation for. Meaning you're a horeg, but you're not a rotzeach. And being a horeg is enough for kamle bedraba mine, not worse than tana de bechizkia. I think that's not so pasha. The eisha mishum chitzav hu l'inyan zeh, the adam amazik hu de mikri, meaning as a shame adam amazik, even though it isn't adam amazik. It's not kocho, he's not a rotzeach, he's not a chayiv mishum mitzicha. Mimela de ichla vekesha, the tana de bechizkia, the mamayit adam ahoreg, midmea nerag. The kamer nami lechayvo b'dal dvarim. Oh, another deal. Bim chiyuv misa lemanda meshum shemchitza. Why don't you say that you're chayv mishum rotzeach? Right? Why limit to saying you're chayv mishum chovel? The ayin marshal ubagos hagrosham lemadaim tzarchiyim arei airi kol asugim evet shai. In the end, he has some questions. But the point is that this. Both aros, namely that kamle bedraba mine is only mentioned in hitzitz begufo, you know, not in neshem shemchitza, and that you know it seems strange that you need the extra comment, you know, even according to Mareshim Shemamono, both of those emerge in this interesting Reb Chaim. It's also mechadish something about kamle bedraba mine, obviously. But we'll see how that fits in to the rest of Reb Chaim's view. Okay, good. So that is in terms of that part. Again, maybe we'll say a few more things, but okay. Then we have Tzavta de Cheresh. Then you have Rava. We've talked about Rava. We've got to end in a minute. Let me just get to the end of the sugya. So then the Gemara finally gets to the question of Talmud. So just again, an interesting ha'ara in the language. You know, when the Gemara says "Nafkamino b'tamun," go ahead, read it. Aryeh, just quickly on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, because we've done the other parts. Amar Rava Kashalei Labai Laman Damar.
Yeah, Amar Rava Kashalei Labai Laman Damar. Yisrael Tamu Beis Patrach Mona
V'nichalei kagon. Yeah. Here's where the Gemara introduces kalu lechitza. Right? And we have to try to figure out. But pashtos, the kalu lechitza makes sense or not as a factor? What would you say?
Yeah.
I mean, if you tell you eshem shemchitza, it makes a lot of sense, right? What? Where? How do you? How would you measure it, though? That's an interesting question. Meaning, it depends on the time that you lit the match, or you first got involved in the case, or does it get revised as you go along? What do you think about that?
Well, if we got revised as you went along, then Haitian Shkaka Slay even once the gather fell. Once the gather fell, you revise it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I meant in the other direction. We're talking about here a case where, to begin with, it was kalolochitza, mitz kalolochitza, basically, from the first moment. What I mean is, what would happen if something happened in the middle that made it kalolochitza, but, you know, then something neutralized that? Like, let's say, right? That's when you started the process, so it was, you know, Eshem Shemchitza, then something took place that was Kololochitza, right? And then that got neutralized along the way. Would that matter? What do you think about that? That's what I'm asking.
Probably depend on what we're talking about before by Hefker.
Right, exactly. So this is a good and interesting question. That's like, what is the critical moment both for Eishem Mishum Mamono and Eishem Mishum Chitza? Right? Is it the beginning? Is it the, you know, any time along the, is it, you know, like the total process? Because Eishem Mishum Chitza, that's part of, right, Tzvi and I were discussing this in another context the other day. Eishem Mishum Chitza, no matter what you say, is a process. Time-wise, the question is, legally, is it a process? I mean, physically, it's a process. And that is part of the challenge of, you know, of understanding it. Do we gloss over that? Say it's like, you know, kocho? Or, you know, or gufo? Or how do we treat that? Okay, so that's an interesting question. But either way, kolochitza per se, the question of, you know, how we define kolochitza is an interesting question. But kolochitza per se in Eishem Shemchitza is very reasonable. Right? Are you? Right? Good. So if we come to any conclusion that establishes that that kolochitza is not applicable to Eishem Shemchitza, you know, that probably is or indicates what?
That's not
really midin or a mamazik. It's a halacha. You know, and that of course, that would be a little mechudak. Normally, when we say that Eishem Shemchitzav is short of being Adam Amazik, or is, you know, is a din and not an actuality of Adam Amazik, you know, normally we mean that as a kula, right? But is it possible that it's also chumrah? When we say that we could ignore kol lochitzav, right? That means, in other words, per se, from an automamazic point of view, this Aish is spent. It doesn't have that capacity. Right? And we're ignoring that? We're saying Aishem Shemchitzav, you know, and treating it as if it's more than automamazic? In a way. Right. So, but on the other hand, the way to look at it is, you know, if it is some sort of a combination, or, if, you know, the acknowledgement that it doesn't, you know, again, if you look at it just in the hierarchy, so that's kind of an irony and maybe even a stira, right? But if you look at it in terms of, again, just conceptually and legally, you know, it doesn't have the power of Adam Amazik, you know, but liberated from, you know, from that high standard or that high threshold, you know, it doesn't, you know, if there's an acknowledgement that it's not kocho, and yet, you know, it has a din of kocho, so maybe you don't even need, you know, fully the chumras of kocho, right? As long as, you know, you've maintained somehow some of the components, you know, that make it legally, you know, sufficiently kocho. So let's say, you know, you struck this match or you mismanaged this fire and, you know, this kololochitza, but, you know, It's still considered your pa'ula. It's mitzuraf to you, you know. And then something, you know, fate intervenes, you know, and notwithstanding kol lochitza from the very first moment or something that takes place at some later point, whatever it is, you know, the end result is that this tziruf, you know, this thing that you created, because it's what you created, It's kind of a chitza of b'toras mamono in that respect, right? So then it's even possible that kol lachitza, you know, a kula or a chumra really, is going to operate. That's an interesting question. So we'll have to see, you know, whether or not that is true or not. Whether l'maskana we've dropped kol lachitza. That's what we want to see with the Rishon l'maskana. The Talmud Harash Harash, Mina Rediona, you know, the Hashlama, the, you know, the of course the Rambam, the Marshal's version of Rashi, the what I call the intermediate, you know, Hava Mina of the Ravid, right? These are the questions. Okay. So that's what we have to keep an our eye out for. Go ahead. Oh, so let me ask you regarding that also, meaning was, this is hard to know, just technically, is there a Hava Mina that, like, did the Gemara ever think before it said, you know, Ihachi, L'inin Galu Inami? Did the Gemara really think that possibly Lagabe Tomun Kol Lo Chitzav matters? That's before they say that, that they what?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If you really held Kol Lo Chitzav as mamish, you know, Chitzav Shaladam, and Kol Lo Chitzav, you can see the case for Kol Lo Chitzav for everything.
For everything. Right, I'm saying, so you're saying there's no real Hava Mina in the middle. It's just like a, it's just like a, the Shakavatari is just telling you, like, you know, that's absurd. Yeah. Or no, but what I'm suggesting is that in light of the fact that we are aware that things might be more complicated, namely, that there could be Eishom Mishom Chitzav people who think that that it's true even in circumstances of Kol Lo Chitzav. Once that's true, is it possible that even in the Hava Mina there was like a flash where we thought that Legabe Chiyuv, right, Eishom Mishom Chitzav works even in Kol Lo Chitzav, just not Legabe Chiyuv Tomun? Right. Becomes, in other words, if we never had this phenomenon of Eisha Mishum Chitzav Bekol Lo Chitzav, then it would be like insane. Let's say it would be, you know, extremely unlikely. Once we know that there is a group that countenanced this idea, still not the majority, right? But there's a minority group of prominent Rishonim, you know, that consider the possibility of Eisha Mishum Chitzav Bekol Lo Chitzav. So then, maybe another way to read the Gemara's Hava Mina was, you know, Legabe Tamun, right? You know, but Gabe Chiyuv Tamun, no. But Legabe Chiyuv Galui, yes. Right? Okay. Let's continue just for a second. Go. Yeah. And the other girsa is Renat Islay Nami, or what the Nami means is, right? Islay Mamono. Right? And that, this we've already discussed, go ahead, Kagon.
Yeah.
Okay. And here's what we know, just we have to pin down those other Rishonim. Like, exactly. In other words, again, we know that the conventional, you know, and certainly majority view of the Rishonim is to say, you know, that we're only Chozar in one narrow point, and we're not Chozar conceptually on anything. We now just think that, you know, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't reject the Shakish. And then, you know, we have a serious difficulty, like, well, Gemara, you know, needs another Nafka Mina. They forgot about all the other Nafka Minas. Okay, so, you know, they, you know, that's what Rashi addresses and that's what Tosis addresses. You have to look at the Lashono. So the Rishonim, it's interesting. Well, we'll talk about that on Thursday as well when we finish this up. But the Raibid and so on. But in the end of the day, we understand, you know, that there are two dinim, and we could still stick with our previous program. We're still not sure about the scope of the two dinim, not before and not in the end. Maybe the end changes in one way or another. Everything we said already, I don't need to repeat it. But we also know that there's a group of Rishonim that are of the opinion that a major sea change took place, you know, in this question, from this question to this answer, right? That the application of Tamun to Rabbi Yochanan, you know, is necessary, and once that's true, all bets are off. The question still is, like, how does it all work? So what impact does that have on, you know, do you need mamon, do you need mamono even according to Rabbi Yochanan? It's one question, right? What are the parameters now of tamun, you know, in Eishem Mishum Chitzav for Rabbi Yochanan? Are they identical to Reish Lakish? How does the Gemara here fit into the discussion of the Rabbana Neged Rabbi Yehuda and Samech Aleph Omid Beis? That you have to look at the Rishonim in both places. So we're going to pick up with all these things on Thursday. What about, you know, Kabbalah? You know, what about all these other things, you know, in retrospect? Which ones stay, which ones get eliminated? And the question that Natan alluded to the other day in the Rabbeinu Yonah part, and that is, typically we think that Eishim B'Shem Chit, the combination of Chitzav and Mamono, you know, or the application of both that is transformative, you know, is still tilted very heavily, one would think, to Chitzav. Like Chitzav is the main and Mamono is kind of the backup. And we already talked about, you know, maybe there are two psukim, two different ways to read the psukim, etc. But in the Rabbeinu Yonah model, right, we also have to look at the other possibility, and that is that when you have Eishim B'Shem Mamono, that somehow that's mafkia Eishim B'Shem Chitzav. Now, again, I don't think that could be. I'll just tell you what I think very quickly, because what does that even mean? I don't think that could be if Eishim B'Shem Chitzav was real out of Mamazik, obviously. But once Eishim B'Shem Chitzav is a virtual out of Mamazik, or a legal out of Mamazik, a tentative, more moderate, you know, an out of Mamazik built off of some sort of Mamono, you know, then it's possible, not, you know, first thing I would have thought, but then it becomes at least very viable to say that there's a more classic Mamono and there's like a secondary Mamono, and with the assumption that you can't have them both at the same time, or in certain issues you can't have them both at the same time, and therefore one is mafkia the other. Like there's a fight for dominance, you know, between them. Okay? So we just want to see how, you know, the Rashi for the Marshal, the Ravid, the Hashlama, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rambam, of course, is according to different Nosei Kalim, how do they formulate all of this, and how does it fit into the Hagdaros of Tamun, you know, as well? Okay? Yeah, so we'll continue with this, hopefully finish up.